all of us will welcome relaxation in some of the restrictions that we've lived with over these past 18 months. And it is good. And yet, there's that tension within us too, that we see infection rates rising and hospitalizations rising, and there's that tension that we want to be a bit freer than we have been, and yet we need to be responsible. We need to care for each other. And so we live in that tension. But one of the things that struck me, and especially as I looked at this Psalm 122, is a phrase that I've heard more often recently than I have for quite a while, and that's simply, let's go. And I've heard people say, let's go and have a meal. Let's go and have a coffee. Things that for 18 months we haven't been able to say to each other. Let's go for a walk. Let's go to the beach. Let's go. And there's been something about just the joy of being able to say that, of being able to be together with people and do things that we just take as normal, things that we take for granted so much of the time. Let's go. And it's just good to have those. And so this Psalm 122, which Tom read for us a few minutes ago, simply has something of that same joy. Let us go to the house of the Lord. It's one of those psalms of ascent, one of those songs of ascent. The pilgrims of Israel would have made their way up to Jerusalem three times a year to those great Jewish festivals in the temple. And as they made their way up towards Jerusalem, these songs would have been in their hearts and on their lips as they got there. And they sang as they remembered all the things that God had done for them. As they went for Passover, they remembered God's salvation, how God had rescued them and brought them out of slavery into freedom. They remembered God's promises to them, promises that he kept faithfully, even though Israel had not always been faithful to him. They remembered God's many, many blessings. So their hearts are just filled with joy as they make their way up to the temple. Luke in his gospel records for us that Jesus and his family made his way up to the temple. It was their custom. And there's that lovely story of Jesus' boyhood when he goes with his family to Jerusalem, and in the crowd and in the just coming and going of people, he gets left behind. Jesus makes his way up to those celebrations in the temple. Jesus would have sung and heard sung these songs of ascent. Wonderful. So David cries out, I rejoiced with those who said to me. Sometimes let's go is not always welcome. As you may have seen, some of our grandchildren are with us this weekend, and when it gets to the evening and you say, right, let's go to bed, it doesn't go down all that well. But here, David is just filled with joy. He just loves to hear that invitation. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David's just full of that joy. It's just wonderful to actually hear people make that invitation. Over this past 18 months, we have been in and out of our building. Things have been very strange in lots of different ways, but we've been blessed to have had a webcast going all that time. And this morning again, I just want to publicly thank our technical folks. They hide up in the back of the gallery here, and really we're very often unaware that they're there until things go wrong. And then we look around and see what they're doing or what they're not doing. But they've done a wonderful job, so thank you. We owe you a great debt of gratitude for your skill and your willingness and your availability over these past months. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's enabled us to worship. But gathering is so much better. Yes, it has been good to be able to sit in our homes and in some way to join together as a congregation. But gathering is so much better. There's something in us that just resonates with David. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. There's just something wonderful about coming together with God's people to sing and to worship and to read his word. And we need to be careful about it. The writer to the Hebrews simply says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more so as you see the day drawing near. Getting together with God's people is an important part of our Christian life. Yes, it has been wonderful to have the webcast. It's been wonderful to be able to do that. But we have known that we're disconnected in some way. And to begin to reconnect has just been so good. Getting together is part, an important part of our Christian lives. And part of the pain that is felt by the persecuted church around the world is not being able to worship together. We live in a part of the world where there seems to be a church or a hall on almost every corner. And we take it for granted that we can just walk in there as and when we please. There are people around the world for whom that is the most wonderful dream. Being able to freely walk into worship. Being able to freely gather together. We should never take it for granted. We should, with David, rejoice at the opportunities of worship and of fellowship that we have. The virtual church has been great, but it is not normal. We need to recover meeting together. And so hopefully in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be able to get more folks into our building as we reduce our spacing a little bit. But we do so carefully, responsibly. But our aim is to bring folks together. David talks in this psalm about tribes going up. It wouldn't have been one little group of people who went up to Jerusalem for that festival. There would have been tribes from all over the nation and further afield who made their way, who made that pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. Tribes of all different sorts. And yet they find their unity in joy, in praising the name of the Lord. That's why they go there. They may be different from different backgrounds, from different places. They may have different accents. They may have different thoughts about things. But they're bound together in this oneness of a desire to praise God as they head off to the to the temple. It's not about a sort of bland uniformity where everybody who makes their way to Jerusalem looks the same and dresses the same and thinks the same and behaves the same. It's about all this richness of a diversity in God's people coming together to praise the Lord. It's a unity. It's a unity in God. Praising the name of the Lord for his saving acts. And the same should be true for us. The church should be the place where people, different people, come together because of their oneness in Jesus. It's not about looking the same, or behaving the same, thinking the same. It's about having our oneness, our unity in Jesus. And so we come from different backgrounds, we have different aspirations, but we are all one in Jesus who loved us and gave his life for us. That's why Jesus prayed for believers. John chapter 17, Jesus prays this. May they, the people who follow him, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. It lets the world know of the love of God in Jesus Christ when God's people are in unity together. Our oneness, our worshiping together, in spite of the differences that we have, our oneness is a witness to the world around us. And that's amazing. Because the world around us is divided and fractured and splintered in so many different ways. But within the church, those people come together because they're one in Jesus Christ. Revelation paints a picture of heaven, a picture of that unity coming together. And we simply read this, a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, and people and language standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This wonderful unity that we find in Jesus. In a society, in a world which tends to pull itself apart, the Church of Jesus Christ is that place where we are pulled together by His grace, in His love. And so these folks made their way from all their different backgrounds, their different places, their different thinking, their different experiences, they make their way with one purpose, to praise the God who has rescued them. And as we gather and worship, that is what we do as well. David then prays for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, well, it should be that place of peace, that shalom, that wholeness, that peace, that completeness. And yet we all know far too well that it's a place of tension most of the time. And so we do need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is represented by the church. No longer is the very presence of God restricted to the temple in Jerusalem. We can worship God wherever we are. And so praying for the peace of Jerusalem is also praying for the peace of His church. Not for this congregation, or not for our Presbyterian church in Ireland solely, but for the church, the body of Christ, the family of God. That group of people who are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, praying for the peace and security of the church. Praying against those things that would divide us. Praying against those attitudes within the church which cause that dis-ease, which cause those divisions, which cause that hurt. These people, as they went to worship, prayed too for the peace and security of Jerusalem. And as we gather in worship, our desire should be to glorify God and see His people encouraged and built up together. This psalm is about worshiping together. This psalm is about praying together. This psalm is about seeking together the welfare of each other as the people of God and acting this out before a world that watches so that they may know of the love of God in Jesus Christ, because nothing else is going to overcome the differences between us. Nothing else is going to mend the fractures and divisions that we see in our own lives, in our communities around us. Only the love of God in Jesus Christ can bring these disparate people and groups together in a oneness that the world can only look at and wonder. That the world can only watch and then turn their eyes to the God who gave His Son for us. May we be those who rejoice. Let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let us praise Him. Let us praise Him together. Let us worship Him together. Let us pray together. Let us build each other up, encourage each other together for His glory and for the good of his church. Shall we pray together? Lord, when we look at the mess of our own lives, when we look at the mess that we make of the world around us, we are constantly in wonder and in awe that you continue to love us. And yet, we are so thankful that you do. Lord, we lift to you those things which would pull us apart. And we pray that just as you have redeemed us by grace, so we may learn more and more to relate to each other in that same grace. And to you, Lord, be all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.